Hello and welcome. Many listeners will recognise the theme music from the James Bond films composed more than 50 years ago by Monty Norman and John Barry. Here in Paris now, at the Parc de la Villette, the James Bond style exhibition has landed. It's a touring exhibition that was first set up for the Barbican Centre in London and has adapted to each city where it's showing, highlighting, for example, here, French content or actors. It arrived in Paris from Mexico, where the most recent Bond film, Spectre, was directed by Sam Mendes. Spectre stars the current James Bond, Daniel Craig, but the exhibition fills in the gaps for the younger generations of Bond film fans with extracts of film where you can compare and contrast the penetrating voices of the British secret agent, also known as 007, from the first, Sean Connery, to the latest, via David Niven, George Lazenby, Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton and Pierce Brosnan. Most of the objects on display, including Aston Martin cars, costumes, decors, maquettes and storyboards, come from Eon Productions Archives, which has made all but two of the 24 Bond films since Dr. No in 1962. Meg Simmons is in charge of the archives.
It started off our 50th anniversary year in 2012. It was much smaller, about 400 pieces, and I think we've surpassed over 600 pieces now because the producers kept making films. So we've updated it to keep up with the film production.
So what do we have here from Spectre particularly, which is freshest in people's minds?
We have lots of different pieces that are sprinkled throughout the themed rooms. So in the Q area, we have the latest Omega watch, and we also have the smart blood injector from the Q Lab scene. And then if you go into the casino area, we have costumes from Spectre. In Villains and Enigmas, we've got Hinks's metal thumbnails that have been added. In our Ice Palace room, which celebrates the alpine locations of Bond and the Bond stunts, we've got several costumes from Spectre there.
Over the years since the 1990s, when you've been archiving, putting all these objects into place, cataloguing them, researching them, are there any that you have an affinity with, the costumes, amphibious vessels, or, as we can see turning behind us, a rake?
Protecting rake. That was at the Safe House in Bladen, Safe House in Living Daylights, which was the first film I worked on. I think it's so broad. I mean, again, and we have in this exhibition represented all different departments that help create the final story on film. But my personal favorite are the Kin Adam set designs, set concepts. They have so much energy and imagination in them. And he was our first production designer. He took on Dr. No because he recognized the fact that it would give him an opportunity to do something very different and experimental. And he set the tone of all the following Bond films. He also inspired the crew to think outside the box and to try different things. Almost every room, I believe every area, is peppered with Kin Adam's influence.
In between the Q room, where I spoke to Meg Simmons, and the Alpine room, where the sound effects are the most, well, effective in the exhibition, is the Casino room. This setting features in many of Bond's films. Two versions of Casino Royale were made, for example, one in 2006 with Daniel Craig, and one in 1967 with David Niven. The costumes here are the most opulent in silk, velvet with crystal beading, in contrast with the Foreign Territory room, where the clothes are casual, down to swimming gear and sneakers. Over the years, some of the most outstanding costumes in the Bond films have been designed by top couturiers, and Bond's suits originally made in Savile Row in London. Bronwyn Cosgrave is a co-curator of the 50 Years of Bond style exhibition. She's a reference on matters of style, although not quite as famous as James Bond. The big difference is that she always plays herself as a fashion expert.
Here in Paris, what I really wanted to do, you know, as a fashion historian, was celebrate the great couturiers who have worked on Bond films. Monica Bellucci was fitted for her corset by Cadol on Rue Cambon. So we've got a lingerie showcase to show that. That's the first time it's been seen. Also, Christopher Walken in A View to a Kill wears these fantastic, very 1980s Cartier sunglasses. Unfortunately, we didn't have Christopher Walken sunglasses, but I contacted Cartier's archive and said, could you match these for us? And we have them in the gold room. Equally, you know, this exhibition really pays tribute to the great costume designers who've worked on the films for over 50 years. And I had contacted the Cinémathèque Française to borrow a wonderful series of costume sketches which Jacques Fanteray produced for Moonraker.
How is it that the costumes in James Bond, striking they are indeed, but they are remembered so much, that it is part of the signature of the James Bond films?
I think you have to go back to the early James Bond films, and particularly, you know, the individuals who are really heading them up. Ken Adam, for one. I mean, Ken Adam, the production designer of the early films, he defined the look of James Bond, the overall look, as one step ahead of contemporary. And that really reflects kind of Ian Fleming's writing. And Ian Fleming was, he's a very skilled journalist. He wasn't thinking about now. He was thinking about how do I entertain my audience and tell them what's next. And that's really the driving, has always been the driving force behind Eon Productions. I mean, something I discovered actually was this very unique method of costume design, which goes back to old Hollywood craftsmanship. The costumes were very rarely produced by one person. So it would be a costume designer consulting with a tailor, say a Savile Row tailor, to craft the look of Bond, okay? And also talking to the actor who portrayed James Bond. What do you want to wear? What is the color of your skin? So they fit him like a second skin. Equally, the women, in a collaborative manner, with the costume designer working in tandem with the great fashion designers of the time, and it goes back to Hubert de Givenchy in the 1970s, dressing Lois Childs, Azzedine Alaia, dressing Grace Jones, Roberto Cavalli, dressing Eva Green. I mean, it's the longest running film series of all time, and they definitely have their own ethos when it comes to the design of them.
It remains within the bounds of classic style.
Costumes have to be classics because the risk of a costume designer adapting something very fashion forward is that, you know, it takes a long time to make a film. So if you actually have a costume that looks too fashion, it could really clash and just upstage the scene. It has maintained a sense of timelessness. I mean, some more than others.
What is your favorite James Bond film?
I have a favorite Bond film for every Bond. So I would say Thunderball for Connery. I think it's an underrated, but there's a tremendous underwater battle scene in that film. Spy Who Loved Me. A tremendous amount of money spent on that film. They went to Cairo and filmed at the pyramids, you know, the sound and light show. I think Pierce Brosnan was fantastic in The World Is Not Enough. Michael Apted, the great British director, made that film. Sophie Marceau, very much his equal in that film. And I would say, I mean, Spectre for Daniel Craig. It's a big ask for an actor to follow in the footsteps of Connery, who really got it from the get-go. And I really think Daniel Craig settled into the role and portrayed it almost effortlessly, which isn't easy.
One room in the exhibition is dedicated to Ian Fleming, a one-time British intelligence officer. He's the author of the original James Bond stories and the character. Daniel Craig or Sean Connery may be almost household names in some parts of the world. Some say his level of fame is equal to or even surpasses the Beatles. But the exhibition brings to the fore many people who help make the Bond legend. Whether you're curious about the arts and crafts that go into a film, love sports cars or skiing or gaming, handsome actors or beautiful actresses, the exhibition has it all and helps explain why this particular fictional character continues to draw huge audiences. In its first day on screens in France, for example, Spectre, the latest Bond film, drew more than 850,000 spectators. Will the exhibition attract as many in Paris? The entrance fee for one adult is at least double that of a cinema ticket. Thank you for listening. From me, Roslyn Hyams. Until next time, goodbye.